morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Quinton Baptist Church. We are so glad to see you all. And the sunshine, agree? Today is the last day to order Easter flowers. There are order forms on the welcome desk. Also, there are some brochures for next week's Easter egg hunt. Please take some brochures and pass them out to any children you might know in the area. Men and teenage boys, save the date. May the 18th is going to be big to do over here on that day, so there are more details to come. Foundations Christian Counseling is providing a workshop, and that is tomorrow night, right here in the Fellowship Hall at 7 to 8:30. Refreshments and child care will be provided. Teens and adults are invited to join together for a special Easter Sunday School session. We'll be viewing a video in the sanctuary. This year's Easter Sacrifice Sunday offering, it will be going to Chosen People Ministries Israel War Relief Fund. And there will be some details following. There will be a video here shortly. And we will be having baptism classes during the Sunday school hour starting soon. If you are interested in following the Lord in believers' baptism, please reach out to Pastor Jay. And there is a heart-to-heart ladies event for bingo Friday, April the 5th, and please sign up on the back for that also. Please check your bulletin for other notes and the weekly announcements. Thank you.
Let's pray. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, your family is gathered together this morning to let you know that we love you, Father. We know that we can love you because you first loved us. Father God, I pray that everything that happens during this hour would first and foremost bring honor and glory to you, would be edifying to your family here, Lord God. I pray that you would receive all the honor and glory that's truly due your name because you alone are worthy. In Christ's name, amen.
Good morning and welcome. It is Palm Sunday today. I'd like to read a couple passages, one from John chapter 12, verse 13. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." And in Matthew 21, verse 9, it says, "The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven.'" The word Hosanna means, "Please save us, our deliverer." And it is also used in songs as a way to praise God and remind us that he is the source of our salvation. Let's stand and praise him together.
We turn to you.
Please be seated.
One of the things that we do as a church every Easter is we do a special sacrifice Sunday, and it's money that we collect and we give to a specific group or organization or part of the church that is looking to use some extra money. And the Sacrifice Sunday that we're doing for this year is with Chosen People Ministries, and it's money that's specifically going to their war relief fund. So for those of you who don't know, Chosen People Ministries is a missions organization that we've partnered with, that we support as a church. Their head is Mitch Glazer, who's been out to our church multiple times for different events. And they have a special fund that they have going on that's specifically going to war relief in Israel. And some of the things that that specific fund is going to is food and meals for different facilities that are there, for underwear and water for soldiers who are in Israel at the time, phone battery packs for soldiers as well, camps for kids who are traumatized from the events happening there, family relocation, and also grants to Messianic congregations to help out in similar ways. So that's some of the things that the fund is going to. In just a moment, we're going to be playing a video from Mitch, just kind of talking about some of the things that we can be praying for Israel. So we're going to take a moment, and we're going to do that right now.
Shalom, dear friend, in the name of Jesus, the Messiah. This is Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and I just want to take a moment of your time to give you some prayer requests. I just want to share some prayer requests. Number one is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we're praying for Jewish people in Israel, Jewish people outside of Israel, Israelis. We're praying for all who live in Israel. Jerusalem is a symbol for the nation of Israel. And by the way, that would include Gaza, because when God gave the land to the Jewish people in the book of Joshua, we learn that Gaza and many other passages, that Gaza is part of the land of Israel. And so let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Let's pray for all of Israel, that the Prince of Peace might, first of all, reign in the hearts of individuals who come to know Jesus as the Messiah. And secondly, by some miracle, peace can be made and war and death can stop. Please pray for the staff of Chosen People Ministries. A number of our people have been called up. Kids of our staff have been called up, and they're serving in infantry. Pray that they have a ministry to their fellow soldiers. Pray that God would spare soldiers and that God would spare innocent non-combatants who are Palestinians and Israelis. So pray for the staff. We're feeding the hungry. We're feeding those who have been displaced. Probably between 1,000 and 200,000 Israelis have had to leave their homes because they're too close to the border. And so let's pray for our staff, because it's about 30 of us and lots of volunteers, and we are working hard to provide food and clothing and stuff for babies and all sorts of things. So we really need your prayers for that. And then third, please pray for the leaders of these two entities, the Nation of Israel and Hamas. I personally do pray that God will act justly, and that Hamas will be deconstructed so that they're no longer a threat to Israel and the Jewish people and their own people. I don't consider Hamas to represent all Palestinians. However means God sees possible, I pray that they will be stopped. They need to be stopped. They are pure evil, and they need to be stopped. And then pray for Netanyahu, and pray for the new unity government and for the war cabinet. Pray that they'd have wisdom. I know that the Israelis do not want to hurt non-combatants. I know that. It would be something that they would dread, but things are going to happen, and we really need to pray that they have wisdom and pray for precision. Just one last thing. Please pray for the hostages. My heart breaks so heavily because of the hostages. Young kids, babies, mothers, they've been taken to Gaza, and God only knows where they are. And so please pray that God would have mercy on the hostages, and that they would be found and they would be saved. So I just thank you so much for caring about what's happening in Israel today, because it does affect the Jewish people. It affects every Christian who is linked into that olive tree, who identifies with the children of Israel. So please pray that God will end this very quickly, and that we can go on to the rebuilding phase, which will surely come. So thank you so much for taking a moment of your time, and thank you for standing with Israel and the Jewish people.
Let's take time right now to pray for some of the things that were just mentioned, and also just pray through some of the prayer requests that we have here at our church.
Lord, we praise you that you are the Prince of Peace. Now, Lord, we can look throughout all of life for peace. We can look throughout all of life for just the sense of rest, Lord. And if we look anywhere besides you, we're not going to find it. And Lord, we praise you that you bring us that peace. And Lord, we pray that that peace would be happening over in Israel right now and in the whole Middle Eastern area. Lord, we pray for peace for Jerusalem, that there's decisions that can be made from the leadership that can be bringing about peace. Lord, we do just pray for those in Hamas, Lord. We pray that that you would bring a swift end to there, Lord, that the leadership would end what they're doing. Lord, we do just pray for the leaders of Israel to make wise decisions, to know exactly what to do. Lord, we pray that you would give them just an extra measure of your wisdom. Lord, we pray ultimately that this war would end. Lord, we pray that there would be peace. Lord, we pray that you would just protect the innocent at this point in time, Lord. Protect hostages who are being taken. Lord, we pray that you would just be the defender of those who can't defend themselves. And Lord, we pray ultimately for justice. Lord, we know that you are a just God. Lord, we pray that justice would be carried out in that area. Lord, we do specifically pray for just Chosen People Ministry and all the work that they're doing over there right now. Lord, we thank you that they have this fund, that they have this way of helping out, Lord. And we do just pray that they can use that with the utmost wisdom to know exactly what to do with all of it. And Lord, we pray that it would bring about a positive impact, Lord, not just for peace, but also for the gospel message to be shared. Lord, we pray that Chosen People would be able to represent you in that area right now. Lord, we pray that you would bless just everyone in that ministry, from Mitch all the way down. Lord, we pray that you would just bless everyone and what they're doing on the ground, with their feet on the ground right now. Lord, we do also bring these many other prayer requests before you. There's a lot of things happening here at church. And Lord, we praise you that Sarah Jane's great niece, Megan, Lord, had her baby this past week, and that everyone's healthy and that everyone's doing good. Lord, we do just continue to pray for just continued safety, your continued hand of protection on both Megan and the baby. Lord, we pray that you would just protect them with your hand, that you would keep them safe and healthy. Lord, we do pray for Sharon Miller as he continues to recover, Lord. And Lord, we do just give him, pray that you would give him patience. We pray that you would give him the endurance to keep going slowly and take every day as it comes, Lord. We do just pray that you would just bring about healing in his life, Lord. I pray for him as he gets stronger, that you would just give him the strength he needs. I know that it's still a long road for him, but Lord, we pray that you would just be there every step of the way with him. Lord, we pray the same thing for Arlene Gertan, Lord. We pray that you would just continue to bless her as she continues these treatments. Lord, as she meets with doctors and different things, Lord, we do just pray that the treatment would work, that it would bring about healing. We pray that you would just give her just patience in the meantime to endure some of the difficulties that come with all the treatment that she's getting. We pray that you would just bring about healing in her life. Lord, we pray for Daniel Croce and all of those who are over-serving in the Middle East right now. Lord, we pray that you would just give them your protection, Lord, that you would protect our soldiers as they fight. Lord, we pray for Jean, Lewis Fogg's stepmother, Lord, and she had this car accident. Lord, we do just pray she just recovers from that, that you would just help her to be able to recover, heal her injuries. Lord, we pray for Candy, Lord, a friend of Donna Plummer's, Lord, as she's just been very weak and oxygen dependent. Lord, we do just pray that you would encourage her and that you would just strengthen her. Lord, we pray for Denise Ridgway's co-workers, family members, Lord, as there's this woman who is stable, but still recovering, Lord, and just showing signs of improvement. Lord, we do just pray that you'd bring about healing for them. Lord, we pray for Kelly McArdle, Lord. Lord, we do just pray for her. She's going through a lot of her health complications. Lord, she's had a surgery this past week on her left foot. Lord, we pray that you would just heal from that. And then this week she's got two more surgeries coming up, and Lord, she's got a spinal tap on Tuesday. Lord, we do just pray that everything would go smoothly with that, that you'd bring about healing from there. And then Lord, on Thursday she's supposed to have the lower part of her right leg amputated. Lord, we do just pray that that would go smoothly, and we pray for her as she just handles everything in the meantime, and trying to get things to work out with insurance so that she can make sure everything works out there. Lord, we do just pray ultimately for healing for her. We pray for wisdom for the doctors as they take care of her. that they would know exactly what to do and what the best thing for her is. Lord, we pray for our church this week. Lord, we have a lot of exciting things happening this week as we lead up to Easter, a celebration of you rising from the dead. Lord, we do just pray that you would bless this week as we have a lot of different things happening. We pray for tomorrow night with the counseling workshop, that it would be an encouragement to those who attend, Lord, that it would give people just a better understanding of you and how you relate to the topic of social media. And Lord, I pray for the Maundy-Thursday service that we have on Thursday, and then the ACON on Saturday. Lord, we pray that you'd bring out a lot of kids to that, that it would be a great outreach into our community. Lord, we pray that kids who've never come out before would come out for the very first time, that they'd be able to hear about our church and just have this great experience with our church. And Lord, we pray that ultimately that would translate then to the next day, Sunday, Lord, as we celebrate Easter Sunday. Lord, we do just pray that it would just be a time of great worship in your house, Lord, a time of rejoicing in you. Lord, we pray for any visitors who may be coming, Lord. We pray that they would just have a chance to hear about you and the great news that you bring. Lord, we pray through all these ministries, everything that's happening this week, that we as a church would just rejoice in you and all that you've done for us. Lord, we pray that we'd be able to point to you to other people, Lord, that other people would be able to see you and your greatness. And Lord, we do pray that that's what would be our focus this week. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Let's continue to sing Hosanna to our Savior, the God who saves. And as we sing, children in first through third grade are dismissed for youth church. Please stand.
Oh,
seated.
For our scripture reading this morning, please take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. I'll be reading verses 19 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 34. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord, we do just praise you for this morning, and we praise you for the opportunity we have now to draw before your word and to open up your word and to hear from you this morning. I pray that we would have the hearts that are ready to listen, eyes that are focused on you. Lord, we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Well, I've got good news, everyone. I found a pirate treasure map. It's exciting, isn't it? It's upside down. Here you go. Pirate treasure map. I found it out of all places in my kids' playroom. Isn't that amazing? It's a pretty great place to find a pirate treasure map. So we're going to follow it after church. We're going to have an expedition, and we're going to go find it. No, okay, we're not really going to do that. But we like this idea, right? We like the idea of pirate treasure. As kids, we play these games where you follow the map, you find where X marks the spot, and you know, you have to dig in, you find this secret treasure trove, right? This little chest that's going to have all the treasures that you could possibly have, right? Rubies, jewels, gold, money, everything you could possibly want. We love playing that game as a kid. But, you know, in reality, if you actually study the pirates, right, they never, like, buried treasure. In fact, if they got treasure from attacking a ship, they would spend it almost immediately because pirates like to spend money as much as they like to make money. But so it rarely ever happened, but we love this idea, right? We love the idea of finding this secret treasure that's going to have all the riches we could ever possibly have. Well, today we're going to be talking about the topic of treasure. And we're going to be asking a simple question: what do we treasure in life? We're continuing our series, Building on the Rock. This is a series through the Sermon on the Mount, which is teachings that Jesus gives to his disciples about how to build their lives on God, in a life that's going to be able to weather the storms of life. We started the series talking about the topic of blessed, then we talked about the topic of being lights in the world, and then we talked about Jesus saying we need to raise our standard on how we live our lives. And then last week we looked at the topic of our motives, and we asked, what is our heart saying? Where is our motives as we serve the Lord? Are we doing it to please men, or are we doing it to glorify God? And today Jesus is going to get into the topic of treasures, and he's going to ask us some questions about what we treasure in life. We're going to kind of deal with two topics today that are kind of directly connected with each other, although they're kind of separate topics. One topic is the topic of what do we treasure, and the second topic is, well, what if we don't have the things of the world, things that we would want to treasure in the world? What then? And the anxiety that that can bring to us. So we're going to start by looking at the idea of treasures, and we're going to be told that we need to treasure God's kingdom. Let's read Matthew chapter 6, starting in 19. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp to the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, then your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." So Jesus gets into this topic of treasures, and in the very last verse, he uses the word money, right? He describes it with money. But treasures are more than just money. It's anything that the money can buy you. It's the things in the world. And Jesus starts by talking about the treasures of earth and the earth's treasures that are before us. And he says we shouldn't be building our lives on those treasures. We shouldn't be storing up treasures on earth. Now, I do want to say just up front, we in America today, we live in a place where the treasures of earth are so much more abundant to us than like any time throughout human history, right? Think about the people 2,000 years ago back in Jesus' day. If they were to get a glimpse of our lives today, they would say, wow, they have so much stuff compared to us. Just give you a couple examples. Think for a second about the topic of cooking. You know, if you want to cook today, what are your options? We have an oven, we have a stove, we have microwaves, we have pressure cookers, we have crock pots, we have toasters, we have toaster ovens, we have air fryers, we have grills. We have all these different ways to cook our food. And then we say, I'm not in the mood to cook today, so let's go out to eat, right? We have all these great opportunities. Or take for a second transportation. Think about the way that we can move around today versus the way that people could move around even 200 years ago. You know, we have so many more things. We have cars, we have planes, we have trains and ships that can go so much faster than ever before. And yet, what are the things that we get preoccupied with, right? We get preoccupied not just with getting places, but how we get there, right? Is our car comfortable? Is our ride nice? Do we have all the extra features on our car? Far be it from us to have to like manually roll down the window anymore. We don't want to have to do that today. We have so many luxuries. And this is not a message saying like give all that stuff up. No, we live in this country and we should be using this stuff. And it's a good thing to use, but we shouldn't be placing that as our treasure. That shouldn't be what we treasure in this world. We shouldn't be storing up them as treasures for this earth. And Jesus gives us the reason why we shouldn't be storing up them up as treasure. And the fact is, it's the fact that they're all temporary, right? He says, if you have these things, the moth and the rust will destroy them eventually. They're not going to last. Your brand new car that you get is going to deteriorate over time, and it's not going to be good in a handful of years, depending on how well you take care of the car will determine how long that is. But it's not going to last. You can have all the things in the world, but a single house fire could take it all away. I don't know if you've ever spoken to somebody whose house was on fire. It takes it all away. Or your car breaks down, you're in an accident, and suddenly your car's gone. Or there's a financial crisis that comes along, and your entire retirement fund is depleted. All of the stuff can disappear overnight. Thieves can break in and steal. All your possessions are as good as your locks on your door, right? Anyone can come along and steal. And Jesus says, if you base your lives on that, that's not going to be enough. And here's the thing, even if you can get your possessions and the things of the world to last you for the rest of this life, they don't matter once you leave this life. You know, for many of us, we have so many years on the earth, maybe it's 60, 70, 80, 90 years on the earth, and then our possessions, what of them? They don't matter. The new car that you got today is not going to matter in 200 years, in 300 years, in 1,000 years, in 1,000,000 years. That's not the stuff that's going to matter. Jesus tells a parable in Luke chapter 12, of this man who had, he was a farmer, and he had so many crops that he couldn't keep them in his barns. And instead of giving them away, instead of trying to do something generous with them, he said, no, I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build bigger barns so that I can hold all of my stuff. And that's what he did. He built the biggest barns he could. He stored all of his stuff in there, and he sat back and he said, wow, I've got everything that I could possibly want. And then how does the parable end? It says that night God comes to him and says, tonight I'm requiring your life. And suddenly, none of the stuff that's in the storehouse mattered. None of the stuff that was in the barn matters. Everything that we have in this life, all the treasures of the earth, are not going to matter. So Jesus says, don't focus on that stuff. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. But he does say then to store yourself treasures in heaven. So what are treasures in heaven? If we're going to focus on the treasures of heaven, what then? You know, last week we talked about the topic of rewards in heaven. But treasures in heaven, I think, are more than just rewards. It's what we can take to heaven with us. And what is the thing that we can take to heaven with us? People. Other people. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, Paul is writing to the church of Thessalonica, and he makes this statement. He says, for what is our hope or joy or our crown of boasting before the Lord Jesus at his coming? What are we gonna boast about when Jesus comes back? What's going to matter at that point in time? And he says, is it not you? For you are our glory and our joy. What matters at the end of it all? People. So that's the stuff that Jesus says to treasure. Treasure the stuff that matters. Treasure people. Build up each other in the Lord. Encourage each other. Strengthen each other. We take each other with us into eternity. And then reach out into the world. Let the world know, hey, there's a future that goes beyond this life. The things of the world is not all that there is. And give the gospel to people. Let them know there's a Savior who loves them, who died for them, that they need to believe in, that they need to turn to. That's the stuff that we get to take to heaven with us, is people. So let's invest in that stuff. So how much are people worth? What's the value of human life? Have you ever asked that question? Our government has. In fact, our government has a number that's considered the value of a statistical life. And what that means is, how much money is the government willing to invest into a project if it's going to save a single life? And depending on which branch of the government you are, there's a slightly varying amount, but it's right around $10 million. Kind of right around that $10 million mark. That's how much they're willing to invest in a single life. Now, for some of us, that might be encouraging, saying, wow, I'm worth $10 million to the government. But in reality, we're worth so much more than that, aren't we? People are worth so much. In fact, there are some things in life that money can't buy. For everything else, there's MasterCard, right? MasterCard teaches us that. No, but people are the things in life that money can't buy. There's no value that we can place on people. People are what matters at the end of it all. So let's invest in people. And then Jesus continues this discussion by turning his discussion to our eyes. In verse 22, he starts talking about our eyes, and he says, the eyes are the lamp to the body. What your eyes look at is what matters. And when I think of this, you know, what I normally think of is those cartoon pictures. I don't know if you ever remember some of the old cartoons where, you know, the eyes of the cartoon kind of like bulge out and they like flash a certain dollar sign or something like that. They're like, oh, I see money. I see the possession. I see the nice things. And I think so often in life, you know, that's the stuff that our eyes go towards. We window shop. We look and we long for things in life. We value that stuff, and that's the stuff that we set our eyes to. That's the stuff that we set our focus on. And Jesus says, if the stuff that you set your focus on are not the things of God, it's not the treasures of heaven, then it's in darkness. And he says, if you're focusing on darkness, you're going to be in darkness. But if you're focusing on light, then you will be in light. And then Jesus ends it with this discussion of two masters, right? He says, you can't serve two masters. You can't have both God and money. You have to pick one. There are some people in life who try to get both, and ultimately those two are going to come in conflict with each other. You have to pick one. You will either love one and hate the other, or you'll be devoted to one, you'll despise the other. You can't have it both ways. So who's your master? God or money? So how do we determine that? How do we look at our lives and evaluate? Okay, who is my master in life? Who am I serving in life? And I'll give you one simple test that we can do, and that's to look at our time. You may have heard the phrase, time is money. Well, the opposite is also true. Money is time, isn't it? I have here $20. It's a $20 bill. For the average person in New Jersey, the average hourly salary in New Jersey is $25. So after the government takes their cut, you get left with about $20. So what this $20 represents for, an average person, some people make more, some people make less, but for an average person, this $20 represents 1 hour of work, right? 1 hour of somebody's life was given for this $20. So what that means is whatever you buy then with $20 is worth 1 hour of your life. So if I were to go to the store or go to a restaurant or something and buy a burger with fries and a milkshake and the total came out to $20 and I handed over this $20 bill, what am I saying? That burger and fries and milkshake are worth 1 hour of my life because I spent 1 hour to make this money. Or maybe I want to buy a new TV, so I save up for a new TV. I save up $200, which in today's world is probably a cheaper end TV. But say I saved up $200, that's 10 of these, right? 10 of these. So that's 10 hours of my life that you're exchanging for television, right? That's what it's all about. So the question is, what else can we exchange our time for? Now, again, this is not a message to not work or anything like that. Working is essential and part of life. But we also have to look at, okay, what are we doing with our extra time? Where are we investing 1 hour of our lives? Would you be willing to invest 1 hour of your life into helping somebody in need? Into teaching children about Jesus or coming up to a teenager and saying, hey, let's talk about your life. Let's talk about some of the decisions you have in life. How can I help guide you? How can I help give you wisdom? Are we willing to spend an hour of our life helping a young family who's in need and struggling? Or being with an older family who the parents are watching the kids move away to college and they're dealing with being an empty nester for the very first time? Would it be worth an hour of your time to sit with somebody who just lost a loved one and going through that with them? Is that worth an hour of your time? Because we already just said, right, a burger and fries and a milkshake is worth 1 hour of my time. Is it worth an hour of our time to do those things? Where are we willing to spend our time? So if you were to look at your life and, you know, maybe you made it into a pie graph. You made your past week into one little pie graph of all the hours of your week. It's 168 hours in your week, and you got this one little graph of what you did with that time. Some of that time would be spent sleeping. Some of that time would be spent working. Some of that time would be spent eating. Hopefully some of that time would be spent like showering and brushing your teeth and that kind of things. But then what happens with the rest of that time? Where do we see the rest of that time going? Is it going towards treasures on earth? Or is it going to treasures in heaven? Are we investing our time in the right way? We need to prioritize and treasure the things of God. And Jesus then continues it into the next topic. Because the first question that will gets raised after all this is, well, what if I invest my time and my treasure into the things of heaven and I don't have enough for this life, right? What if there's not enough? And he starts talking about this topic of anxiety. And Jesus specifically is talking about the topic of anxiety with regard to our finances. So let's see what he has to say about that, starting in verse 25. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So Jesus turns the topic into this discussion of, well, what if I don't have enough? What if the stuff of this life, you know, we say not to treasure it, but you need something, right? You need to pay the bills. You need to cover the finances. There are constantly things coming up with finances. And we say, well, what do we do about that? One of the chief causes of anxiety in our world today is anxiety that we don't have enough, that our finances aren't going to cover it, that we're not going to be able to pay the bills. So what do we do about that? Now, I do want to first and foremost say that I do always advise I do always advise putting money away for retirement. I do always advise, you know, putting money aside for future projects. However, we shouldn't also depend on that money, right? Because I think a lot of times what we can do is when we get anxious about things, we say, well, I need to build up my money so that I can be comfortable, so that I don't have to worry about those things. And we turn to our money as a security blanket and as a safety so that we don't worry. And here's the thing. Money is not ultimately going to solve the problem of worry in your life. Money is not going to be the one to take care of you. Money is not going to fix the problem. Jesus says here, who by being anxious is going to add 1 hour of your life? We're not going to be able to add any time to our life. Money is not going to fix the problem. I'll give you two quick reasons why. The first reason is that the more money that we have, the more problems that get created, right? Think about it. We live in today, in America today, in a place I've already talked about, so much more wealth than ever before, and yet we still, as Americans today, are anxious about money. Because as there's more money around, there's more money that's then needed. And we get demands for more money in our lives. There are more bills. As we have these great cars now, but those cars come with car bills and gas bills and car insurance bills. Or another example is, you know, our phones. We have so much technology today, but that comes with bills that we end up having to pay. The more things that we have in life, the more things we have to pay for in life. So money is not going to solve the problem. Money just creates new ones. And the second reason that money is not going to be able to solve the problem is because money doesn't ultimately deal with the core issues of life. Money may take care of some of our financial needs, but it's not going to take care of our greatest needs. Turning to Jesus, having forgiveness from our sin, having a purpose in life, money's not going to provide any of that. So money's not the solution. So then what is the solution? And that's what Jesus is going to give here. He's going to give us two things that we're going to look at today that are going to talk about the not being anxious. Now, I do want to say up front, I am not a psychologist or trained counselor or anything like that. We have a counseling center with Foundations that I would encourage anyone who's dealing with anxiety, reach out to them. They would love to talk to you. They would love to help you with that. But I'm going to talk about what the Bible says. I'm going to say, here's what the Bible has to say about this topic. And we're going to look at two things that we're going to see here in this passage. The first one is having faith in God. He starts by saying, you know, trust God. God's the one taking care of you. You're not going to be able to do it by yourself. You being anxious isn't going to take care of the issue. But he says that God knows you need these things. God's the one there taking care of you. God's the one there to protect you. Jesus gives these two examples for us, right? The first example is about birds of the air. He says, you know, the birds, they don't put in the work. They don't plant crops. They don't harvest crops. They don't build storehouses or barns to store their food away in. And yet they still have food, don't they? I've got a bird feeder over at my house, and, you know, I love the bird feeder. I think it's great. But on Friday, you know, I'm looking out in my yard, and I'm seeing the birds, and the birds aren't by the bird feeder. The birds are in the yard, and they're pecking at the ground, and I see one bird snatch out a worm. And I'm like, oh, he's got himself something to eat today. And I come to this realization, right, that if my bird feeder wasn't there, the birds would still be fed. God would still take care of the birds. My bird feeder isn't necessary. Now, I like the bird feeder. It brings the birds in, and it does all that nice things. But God's the one providing for the birds. The birds of the air, God takes care of them. And then Jesus gives the second example, and the second example is about clothing, right? And he talks about the lilies of the field. He says, you know, they don't toil or spin. They're not putting together clothes. They're not wearing designer jeans or anything like that, but they're beautiful anyway. God's designed them to be beautiful. God made them beautiful. In fact, they're more glorious than Solomon in all of his glory. And Jesus says, these are the things that God takes care of. And then we get asked a very important question, right? It's a value question. Jesus asks this question. He says, aren't you of more value than they are? You know, these lilies are here today and tomorrow they're thrown into the oven. What about you? Jesus asks this question, like he says, okay, if you're on one side and the birds and the lilies are on the other, which do you think God values more? And the answer is us. And we know it's us because here's what God did for us, right? He sent his son to come to this earth, to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for the sins of us. He didn't come to die for the birds. He didn't come to die for the lilies. He came to die for us so that we could have forgiveness of our sin and peace with God. That's the value that God has given to each one of us, that you are worth his own son coming and dying on the cross. And if that's the value that God has on you, I think he's going to take care of you if he takes care of the birds and the lilies, which are of so much less value to him. He's saying if he already takes care of that, he will take care of you. So trust him. Have faith in him. Believe in him. Allow him to be the one to take care of you. Have faith in God. And then Jesus gives the second reason here, and that's, what is our focus? Are we focusing on God? This goes back to what I was saying earlier about the eye as the lamp to the body. What are our eyes focusing on? What's the treasure in our lives? Is it ourselves or is it God? You know, he asked this question in verse 25. He says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Think about what's important in life. Isn't there more important than food and clothing? Isn't there something more important than that? Jesus says, towards the end of the section, Jesus says, you know, the Gentiles seek after these things. These are the things that the Gentiles concern themselves with. People who don't know God, people who have no God in their life, this is what they preoccupy themselves with. Jesus says, you're not supposed to be like that. We are supposed to have a different focus in our lives. And then verse 33 is kind of the punchline to the whole thing, where Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What are we supposed to focus on? The things of the Lord. The treasures in heaven. God's kingdom. God's righteousness. People. People who need God. Ourselves and how we need God and our own righteousness. These are the things that we're supposed to be focusing on. We're supposed to be directing our attention to these things. And Jesus says, don't worry about the other stuff. God's taking care of the other stuff. All these things will be added to you. God will take care of it. You focus your attention on God and the things of God. Think for a second about the story of Peter walking on water in Matthew chapter 14. There's this huge storm and rain, and they're out on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus comes walking out to them, and Peter says, Lord, if it's you, call me out to come see you. And Jesus says, come. So Peter gets out and he walks on the water, and what happens? When he first starts out, his focus is on God, and he gets this opportunity to walk on water. And then what does it say happen? It says, then he saw the waves and the rain. Peter took his focus off of Jesus, and he started worrying about the things around him. And at that point is when he started to sink. And Jesus swooped him up and said, you of little faith. If we trust God and we keep our eyes focused on him, then we can allow him to provide the rest. We see this same idea played out in Philippians chapter 4, the same two ideas on how to deal with anxiety. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, this is what Paul says. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What is Paul saying to do there? He says, if you're anxious about something, turn to God with it. Pray to God. Go to God in prayer, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Present your request to God. If you're in need of something, go to God about it. And he says, and the peace of God will be with you. But then Paul turns his attention to our focus. The very next verse, verse 8, he then says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything, any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. He says, set your focus on the right place. Set your focus on God and the things that truly matter in life. So as we deal with anxieties, we deal with the difficulties, the worries that life brings us, these two principles come into play. Focus on God and have faith that he will be the one to take care of us. I want to end by going back to a prayer. And it's the Lord's Prayer. It's given earlier in this chapter. We talked about the Lord's Prayer last week. But we see this exact thing play out in the Lord's Prayer, right? We see this idea where we want to focus on God. Jesus says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This focus on God and the things of his kingdom and the things that matter. And then it's in light of that that Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. He says, we have daily needs. So let's pray for those daily needs. Let's turn to God with our needs and have faith that he's going to take care of it. Ask God to take care of today and let tomorrow worry about itself. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what do we think about in life? What preoccupies our thoughts? What makes us anxious? What are the things that we treasure in life? What are the things that we focus our attention on? Is our focus on the things of the world, the treasures of the earth, the anxiety that can come with not having enough? Or are we focused on God and his kingdom and the things that truly do matter? We need to set our focus in the right place this morning. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are the provider, that you are the one who takes care of us, that you're the one who's constantly with us. Lord, you know what we need in life, and you're there to take care of us and provide for us. We thank you for your great love for us, that we're here in America today, that we have so many great things today that so many people throughout history have not had. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't take that stuff for granted, that we would appreciate that we would thank you for that. But Lord, I pray that we would not get drawn away from you because of those things. That we would treasure you first, that we would treasure your kingdom, that we would treasure people that we can take into heaven. That we would make you our focus, make that our focus, Lord, that we would direct all of our attention and all of our thoughts to you. And we pray that through it all that you would receive the honor and glory. And Lord, we trust that you would take care of the rest. Pray these things in your name. Amen.
God does take care of us. In fact, he is more than enough. Please stand as we sing together.
is more than enough. You're more than enough.
Than enough. If you are, you know, thinking about the message and you really just need someone to talk to pray with you, maybe you're dealing with anxiety, you're dealing with stress, or maybe you feel like you need to reprioritize your life and the treasures, things that you treasure in life, we'll have people up front who would love to talk with you, to pray with you. I encourage you to take time and sit down and don't just leave the message and walk out the door, but actually do something with it. To reorient our lives, to think about God. And Lord, as we head out this morning, we pray that we would be people who treasure you first, who treasure the impact that we can have for you, your kingdom, your righteousness. We pray that would be our focus as we trust that you take care of the rest. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.